Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Ray Hager and I speak with Chris Hicks, the Washoe County District Attorney, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Sully Sports Bar inside the Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for locals to watch all your favorite sports. And now you can enjoy your favorite team on our brand new high-def TVs featuring the Papa, the big daddy of them all. It's our giant 17-foot big screen TV wall. And we have two 79-inch high-def TVs, 12 65-inch high-def TVs, including two party booths for your own private party, and six high-def private booth TVs. Bring in your own headphones and listen to your favorite game right from your own seat. First, make your bets in our William Hill Sportsbook, then enjoy your favorite cold beer, libations, burgers, wings, pizza, and our signature build-your-own Bloody Mary bar. Then settle in and download our app and listen to any game being shown in Sully's Sports Bar. Catch your favorite team on our new high-def big-screen TVs. Sully's Sports Bar is the only place to watch your favorite sports all year long. The Tamarack Junction, just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion. For romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program the Washoe County District Attorney, Chris Hicks. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks.
It is unbelievable how fast time has flown that you were running for re-election next year. It seems like yesterday you were announcing on this show for the first time.
Yeah, I was thinking about that earlier. It's just unbelievable to me that time has gone by that quickly. And it really shows how quickly the time goes this job that I'm doing. The days are a blur often.
Last time you got to run with no opposition, what do you think your chances of doing that this time are?
Well, you know, hard to say, but I'm preparing for it just like it's going to be a full battle. But I'm fortunate. I have some tremendous support in the community, more so than I even had 4.5 years ago. So I'll be ready if somebody wants to file against me, but I'm charging full steam ahead.
Let's change topics to what's going on in the news. And I kind of wanted to get your take on this. You know, we have all these accusations of sexual misconduct in various fields going on right now. And over the weekend, the story broke about our Congressman Ruben Kiwen being accused by somebody who's going by the name of Samantha, who says that he inappropriately touched her thighs. And almost immediately, Nancy Pelosi, even Dina Titus are calling for his resignation. You know, what happened to the rule of law, due process? Does this all go out the window when somebody makes an accusation like that? I'm curious just to get your take as a district attorney.
Well, it's a tricky issue. You know, in the first instance, all this these reports and these incidents that are coming out lately are so important. I mean, it's valuable that this is coming to the surface, and hopefully this will change longstanding issues that we've had in our society involving sexual harassment. On the flip side of that, we do have to be sure that due process occurs. You know, and I'm sensitive to it because I'm an elected official. You know, all it takes is someone to make that accusation, and in this day and age, right now, that immediately you're going to have that cloud of suspicion that's going to be very difficult, even if it's not true, to get away from. So I don't know specifics about what happened with Mr. Kiwen.
No, and I'm not asking you to be, you know, to weigh in on that. I'm just talking about it in general because it just seems that at this point in society, and listen, for any person, male, female, whatever, transgender, that has been sexually assaulted, they have every right to come out into the open, make their accusation, and if it's true, the person should pay the price. Or if people do unbelievably stupid things, as we've seen with some of the TV news personalities from the morning shows that have gotten fired recently, absolutely, they should go down. But it just seems that, you know, somebody can make an accusation against you, and whether it's true or not, you're in trouble.
Yeah, no, it's
and same for me, for Ray, all of us.
Yeah, it's a troubling thought. Now, the one thing I'd say that I've noticed lately is it's almost all blended together. You hear sexual harassment, you hear sexual assault, and I don't know that the public at large delineates or distinguishes the two. Very different topics. Sexual harassment is very sweeping, broad range of what that can actually be, is any kind of discrimination. But sexual assault, that's a crime. That's a whole different ball of wax. And so, you know, it, depending on what that individual who's being accused of it did is a very big consideration.
Can you tell us where, is there a line? Is there a clear line between the two? I mean, if I put my arm around somebody's neck and shoulders, is that considered an assault? Could be.
It could. I mean, depends. Yeah, you know, that's an unfortunate common answer in the law, but it depends on the circumstances.
And you certainly saw with the Andrew Klinger case that right after that was seemingly settled at the time, it still isn't, but it was seemingly settled, the attorney who was representing the women in that case was suddenly advertising in the Reno News and Review, if you've been, you know, sexually harassed, contact me.
Yeah.
Well, Chris, I see it in a lot of these cases, and specifically in Congressman Kiwin's case, is that the rule of law really does not apply. Because what crime has been committed that you could charge him with, although he's not in your jurisdiction? That's what I think. I mean, President Trump has been accused of sexual assault, but that's a whole different ball game. Being accused of touching a thigh, which may or may not even be a crime, and that's why the rule of law is not in here. This is a political controversy that is tried in the court of the media.
Well, that's true, but you know there are very clear civil consequences for certain acts, and then as Sam noted, then it can blend over into criminal acts. Now, criminal acts are going to require, you know, particularly for a sexual assault. I mean, that under the law is a rape, but you still have acts of open and gross lewdness, battery with the intent to commit sexual assault, different crimes like that, very serious crimes. So, you know, you have the civil component and then you have the criminal component.
Okay. In a Vanity Fair story about Matt Lauer, the television morning host, it is alleged that he dropped his pants and showed his genitals to a woman in his office, a private office, where he even had a button to lock the door so no one could get in. Would that be considered gross lewdness, or because it was in his office, it's not a crime?
Well, no. I mean, there's a law on our books of indecent exposure. You know, going off that hypothetical, I don't know all the facts exactly, but that certainly could be a possible crime.
In a private office.
Sure.
Okay.
All right. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll change the topics here. Just want to get your take on this because everybody's talking about it and everybody's looking at it with different perspectives. And I think it's important. And we're going to spend some time this week talking about it. We'll be right back with the DA after this.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Washoe County District Attorney Chris Hicks. Wanted to talk to you about a topic we haven't talked about in this program for quite a while, but the gang M13, it's a pretty violent, nasty gang. And, you know, they had a presence in Washoe County. Do they still have a presence in Washoe County?
They're still around. It's a minimal presence. But with that gang, as in any gang, minimal is enough that we should all be concerned with it.
In what way?
Well, you know, a month ago, it's 2 months ago now, speaking how time flies, we prosecuted a double murder that occurred here in Washoe County in 2010. We weren't even able to try the case until 2017, but that was a murder committed by an MS-13 gang member, and the sole justification for the murder was he didn't like that the two guys he killed were talking bad about the gang. So it's that senseless and that violent.
How much of a gang problem do we have, period, in Washoe County?
It's prevalent. I mean, there are gangs here. It's different than it was years ago, where you could isolate it down to a couple gangs or a few rivals with various kind of offshoots. There's a lot of different gangs now. So we've had some violent crimes over the last 6 months that have been gang-related, so that's a concern I always have. I have a long-term goal of getting a gang prosecutor, a gang unit that can work with the regional gang unit from the ground up and prosecuting those cases. I think that that'll be very valuable to the community.
And what about the ICE crackdowns that have been occurring here since the Trump administration came into to being? When I talk to immigration attorneys, they say that in the past they were able to negotiate with ICE and be able to work with them, and now ICE is just taking things to the maximum. And that's scaring, or is it, in your opinion, is that scaring the Hispanic community from coming to talk to you, because that's so important in your job to have a relationship with all communities?
Well, absolutely. One of the priorities I had in the moment I took office was to improve upon my office's community outreach. And we've done a very good job of that. Part of that is reaching out to those communities, because they're victims too, or witnesses in our cases. And it's important that we have their cooperation. We don't want criminals getting off on certain charges or crimes because we can't get a witness to come to court because they're scared of that potential outcome. And so we work with individuals in those situations. There are ways for us to get visas, U-visas is what they're called, for some of those immigrants if that's necessary. We're always trying to build those relationships to just make sure we're taking care of our victims and keeping our community safe.
And are you comfortable with the level of activity of ICE?
Honestly, Sam, my office just does not really have to be, or not really a part of that. That's a federal agency. And so I don't know the depths of how they're processing those cases now. And I don't handle the immigration side of it.
Chris, you mentioned that you wanted to get a gang unit. Is that correct? Oh, I just had a few questions about that, because that's pretty interesting. Like, how much money are you talking about? What's the definition of the task that the unit would do? Would you need a vote by the county commission to get this approved? And why is this needed?
Well, first off, yes, I would have to get it added in my budget. And that's something that, like I said, I intend on doing in the future.
Much would it be?
Well, I don't know the exact numbers, but I would need a funding for a full-time attorney and funding for an investigator if I could have it my way. And that would be probably a couple $100,000.
Annually. Okay.
But the importance of it is it's very similar, the way I see it, as our Child Advocacy Center works, with that multidisciplinary approach where you have a prosecutor working with detectives, working with social services, working with medical. That's the way we do it at the Child Advocacy Center, right at the time a child mentions or discloses abuse. And the value of that is all those specialties are working together to make a stronger case. Mm-hmm. I could see that multidisciplinary approach also working in gang units. If we had a prosecutor that regularly was with the gang, regional gang unit, communicating with them, sharing intel, because let's face it, it's a ever-evolving world, the gang world here in our community, that could build those relationships and start working with them from the ground up, I think we'd have stronger outcomes because our gang prosecutions are tough. It's very common that we lose witness cooperation. That's how gangs operate, through intimidation and violence. So they're always a struggle. I did many of them as a prosecutor before I was elected, but they're so important because they're violent crimes that can't be tolerated. So it's critical that we think smarter. We look forward and try to do it the best we can, and I think that would be a good way to do it.
All right, more with District Attorney Chris Hicks when we come back.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Pro Group Management, and the Retail Association of Nevada.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Chris Hicks. He is the Washoe County District Attorney.
Chris, in the last segment, we were talking about a potential gang unit to be included in the Washoe DA's office. Is there another community, maybe a Fresno or something like that, where this is already working and you would model it after that? Or is this, something that you have to create within your own department?
No, I've looked into other communities, and there are various types of units such as this. I mean, even in my office now, we have specialized prosecutors, but this would be, if I had it my way, the depth of that's solely what the prosecutor would do, and it would be under my major violators unit.
Okay, and one last thing. Would you need a vote by the county commission to get this approved into your budget? And any idea, ballpark figure on what it would? You said 200,000.
Yeah, it'd be. I would imagine between $200,000 and $300,000. It's the budget process is. It starts in the spring, and we go through with all the county management, county finance, and then ultimately it goes to the county commission. We'll have to see. The last few years the budget has been very flat here in Washoe County. It's very difficult. We're fighting for every dollar. And so whether or not I can get it right now, we'll have to wait and see.
Okay. I want to talk to you about the active shooter situation that occurred in downtown Reno. And coming off of what happened in Las Vegas, that is still very raw in that community. Have you had conversations with your counterpart, Steve Wolfson, in Las Vegas about, how the DA's office handled that, the preparations that went into it, and but obviously this opened up a whole new vista for all of us that somebody could end up in a high floor, knock out the windows and start shooting at a crowd.
Yeah. That was such a scary situation, and it really could have been, as we all know, much worse. A very horrible situation. Myself and Mr. Wolfson, we talk from time to time. I certainly reached out to him often when everything happened in Las Vegas. This shoot, although it appears to have very similar characteristics, it is very different. Nobody, thank God, other than the shooter, was injured. But it's a reality we all have to live in right now. I have to commend the officers in this situation, the way they moved in and took control of the situation before someone was significantly hurt.
Can you share any of that conversation with Steve Wolfson?
It was short. The initial conversation I had with him, I was actually out of town. When everything happened there, I reached out to him. I could tell just how emotional it was in Vegas at that time, merely by the communication with him. I knew how busy he was. I let him go. So it was just a short, hey, I'm here for you. Let me know if I can do anything. And then a genuine thank you and, keep us in your thoughts and prayers.
You know, one of the things that's always interesting to me, and we tend to forget about it until a situation like the one in downtown Reno occurs, is how many different law enforcement agencies there are in Reno. Because all of a sudden, you're not just seeing Washoe County Sheriffs and Reno PD, you're seeing FBI, you're seeing all these different agencies that are fully geared up and ready for action.
You know, we have so many different law enforcement agencies here in the community, but one thing that I've always been impressed with, particularly since I've been elected DA, is the cooperation and relationships those law enforcement agencies have. They communicate well together, and in the drop of a hat, they will be backing each other up. And that's a perfect example in this situation we had at the montage. Reno Police Department, Washoe County Sheriff's Office, NHP, Sparks Police Department, all arriving to hopefully protect the community.
Well, like I say, FBI as well.
FBI as well. And that's not uncommon here. And it is really a remarkable thing.
Any theories on a motive for this shooter at the montage?
Yeah, I mean, I have to be somewhat limited in what I can discuss because it is a case that will ultimately come to my office, mm-hmm. my determination on whether or not it was a justified shoot.
And that comes because the Sparks Police Department is doing the investigating.
Yeah, well, the way it works is we have a regional officer-involved shooting protocol that goes into effect whenever an officer from any agency in Washoe County shoots somebody. And that is followed to the T. And once that investigation is done, it ultimately comes to me to make the final determination as to whether or not it was a justified shooting or not. So back to your question is, I honestly, Ray, believe that this was a purely a mental health issue and potentially a drug abuse issue. It just does not have any, I'm comfortable in saying, having any correlation as far as motive as that what we saw in Las Vegas.
Was it a copycat crime, do you think?
I don't believe so whatsoever.
I'm going to ask you to just purely speculate on this.
Oh, purely speculate.
On the Las Vegas situation, it seems like the Las Vegas Metro has kind of clamped down on information coming out. Do you think that there's a lot going on behind the scenes still in Las Vegas between all the various local, state, and federal agencies and that we're going to probably hear a lot more coming out in the next couple of months?
Purely speculating. It's difficult to say, Sam. I've got to believe, just like you do, that there's a lot more information out there. But these investigations, and they're tough. And man, something at that scale, on that scale, where you're talking about so many victims, and such a traumatic event. I'm confident they're going through it very diligently and effectively, and that we'll get a full report to answer people's questions.
And that's where we got to leave it. Chris Hicks, Washoe County DA, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And if you do get an opponent, please debate them right here on Nevada Newsmakers.
Be happy to.
All right, we'll be right back.
I'm Paul Enos, CEO of the Nevada Trucking Association. Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
On our next broadcast, it's an all-pundit show with Mary Lau, Andy McKay, and Mylon Hawkins. We'll see you then.